Talking about walking. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. I don't know what your experience is of the Christian life, but we live in a hostile world. Hostile to our faith, and life as it is has many challenges. A Pew Research Center report, it's an American research body, they issued a global religious change report this year. In it, they report that 12 out of every 100 adults who were raised in Christian homes left their childhood religion. In Australia, the picture is worse. The dropout rate is apparently 27 out of 100 adults in their lifetime. We saw in the previous two messages that the Apostle Peter, who is well qualified to disciple Christians, having personally walked with the Lord Jesus and was commissioned by him to feed his sheep, wants every Christian to know two vital truths about themselves if they are going to persevere in the faith. We saw. Firstly, he wanted them to know that they are God's elect pilgrims, chosen and loved by God the Father, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He wanted them to know that. He also, in the second place, wanted them to know that God has caused them to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This living hope cannot fade away. It cannot die. They have a heavenly inheritance kept by God, and God guards them so that they will receive that inheritance. These truths will sustain them and empower them as Christian pilgrims living in a hostile world. Today, we continue to look at what Peter teaches us about the Christian life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, the passage that Neil read to us, we read of the next very important truth every Christian needs to know. Christians have been given a precious gift of faith from God, designed to endure until the end. I've always been fascinated by the toughness of the honey badger. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those small creatures. They about the size of a lap dog, maybe a pug or a Frenchie or something like that. But I tell you, I wouldn't put them into my lap to cuddle them. They are unbelievably resilient, living in harsh and unforgiving conditions. The honey badger can take a full strike from a venomous cobra, collapse for a moment, later on wake up and eat the very same cobra that tried to kill it. Its hide is so thick and loose that predators like lions can hardly get a grip on them. They can outthink traps, break through enclosures, and boldly stand their ground against predators about 10 times their size. The honey badger, by all accounts, is one of the most relentlessly tough creatures that God created. And when I think of their resilience, one cannot help but think about the nature of the faith that God gives to his children. Just like the honey badger that is created to almost endure anything that Mother Nature can throw at it, Believers' faith is designed by God to persevere through trials that would overwhelm every human heart. This morning, let us allow Peter to once again guide and disciple us, and this time to tell us about the precious faith that born-again Christians receive from God. We will look firstly at what that faith endures, then the value of that faith, and thirdly, the heartbeat of that faith. What faith has to endure? In order to appreciate this incredible gift of faith, it is helpful to think of the environment in which that faith needs to live. I was thinking about our congregation and the trials and the challenges among us. Think about somebody who has lost their job or they're facing a financial crisis. And the anxiety and the uncertainty of not knowing how they will care for their families. Or somebody who has to live with a very difficult diagnosis that can be extremely overwhelming and uncertain. Also the challenge of relationships that are tested, like tension between spouses, or children, other family members. It can bring emotional pain and strain. There are seasons of loneliness, feelings of being abandoned and feel isolated. Workplace injustice can bring great challenges to our faith. When we are treated unfairly or being overlooked or pressurized to compromise our Christian values, there's the worry over children who are struggling. What about unmet desires and waiting on the Lord to answer prayer? Faith is further tested when we sin and when we make serious moral errors. It can bring great guilt and shame over us. There can even be the challenge of our faith in the church when we feel disillusioned about the church for one or another reason. Expressing our biblical convictions may lead to accusations of being hateful, being intolerant. At times, believers feel unable to speak about their faith openly, let alone all the media messages and society that mock and belittle our faith. These things can test and try our faith. These are examples of the kind of environment that faith has to live in. They require us to trust God to provide in one way or another. Cause us to depend on God and God alone for help, for strength, and for grace. They require from us to display deep humility, love, and forgiveness when we feel we don't have it in us, to be content with God and to have Him at times as our only comfort and companion, to trust in God to make things good, to be willing to shift our hopes from earthly outcomes and learn the secret contentment of God Himself, to rely on the gracious forgiveness of God, to allow our discouragements to test our motives, the rejection that we face to teach us to love unconditionally, and offense to serve God faithfully. Our faith gets tested undeniably, doesn't it? This is exactly what the Apostle Peter is saying to the believers he wrote to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6b to 7. He says there, "You have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter says that what happens to our faith can be compared to what happens with gold. Imagine a lump of gold. It's raw, it's unrefined, and it's taken to the furnace. The heat is rising up until it's blazingly hot at about 1,000 degrees. The gold starts to melt. And as it liquefies, the impurities and the dross rise to the surface at about 1,200 degrees. The goldsmith carefully skims off every trace of impurity, watching very closely, because even a tiny flaw in the gold would diminish its value. Only when the goldsmith is satisfied that the gold is completely pure, he removes it from the fire, shining in its brilliance. In the same way, Peter tells us that our faith, like gold, is to be tested by fiery trials. Just as pure gold emerges from the fire, so our faith, refined often through hardship, shows itself to be strong, genuine, and glorious. Maybe you're going through a trial at the moment. Trials can be very hard to take. It can be a fiery experience. The Apostle Peter doesn't pretend otherwise. He says in verse 6, "You have been grieved by various trials." They can cause genuine grief to God's people. They are painful and heavy. Sometimes, when we go through a trial, we can feel extremely weak, like our faith is hanging on a thin thread. So just like the honey badger is created to endure his environment, so God has created the faith of every believer to live in a hostile environment. If you are a Christian, the faith that God has given to you will survive, and it will even grow through trials. That said, let us consider in the second place the value of faith. Now, unbelievers don't think much of faith. Maybe at best, they feel indifferent to it, saying, "Well, good on you for believing what you believe, but it's not for me." Maybe others would say and act like treating faith with caution. It makes them feel uncomfortable and a bit guarded. So either way, unbelievers don't think much of the value of faith, and they certainly don't desire it for themselves. But how valuable is faith according to the Apostle Peter? How valuable is it according to God's word? He says in verse 7, "It is more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire." And also verse 7, that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And verse 8, he says, the outcome of your faith is the salvation of your soul. While gold traditionally is considered the most precious metal, Peter says in verse 7, gold perishes. It will perish. When this evil world will be destroyed one day, on the day of judgment, as we are told in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. But the faith of believers will endure. That's the point. According to God's word, it is more precious than gold, because it will withstand the pressures and the challenges of this world and survive until Jesus Christ returns. Then it will receive praise, honor, and glory, such as a block of gold has never received, because faith has an outcome, and salvation is that outcome. So the purpose of trials is to show the genuine nature of faith. It is as though the Apostle Peter is saying to his readers, your faith will lead you right into the presence of God, into heaven itself. Dear believer, do you see the value of your faith? We can thank God and rejoice in this precious gift of faith. On that note, there is another remarkable truth about faith, and that is that faith has a heartbeat. Faith is resilient, it is valuable, but it is not just a strong inner conviction or some automatic divine rewiring, such as the honey badger has to survive his environment. No. Faith is living, and it has a heartbeat, so to speak. It is alive, relational, and personal. Peter captures this beautifully in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, when he describes the believer's faith in Jesus Christ, saying, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Peter himself walked with the Lord Jesus. He was one of Jesus' closest companions. But the believers he is writing to never had that privilege. Like us, they never saw the Lord Jesus. Yet they loved him. Even at the time when Peter was writing to them, they still had not seen him. Yet they believed in him. And they had joy. They had inexpressible joy filled with glory. Now many of us have grown up hearing fairy tales of true love and courage. Something like this. There's this brave girl, and she crosses the stormy mountains and the dark forests, facing the trials that can break any person's heart. Her courage does not fail, because every step of the way, she is guided by the thought of the one true love. Through dangers on every side, she presses on. Her heart is anchored in the one that loves her so much. At last, she reaches her beloved. And in his embrace, all the hardships melt proving that a steadfast love and a true love endures. Some people have dreams like that. The love that the Apostle Peter is talking about in verse 8 is that kind of love. That kind of love. Believers come to love Christ who loved them first. His death saved them, and His love transforms them. He freed them from bondage to sin and cleanses them from the defilement of sin. He gives them the Holy Spirit, who has made them alive to God and transforms their hearts and their lives so that they love God and they love the things of God. He gives them peace. He helps them every day of their lives to live in love for those around them and to hope in the promises of God. He teaches them through His own example. He understands them. He inspires them to follow Him. He ever lives to intercede for them. Believers who suffer do not have their hopes dashed by their troubles. They love the Lord Jesus whom they do not see. And even though they do not see Him now, they believe in Him. They live by faith. But their faith will become sight when He returns one day to receive them to be with Himself. God's gift of faith is valuable, resilient, and it has a heartbeat. And that heartbeat is Jesus Christ Himself. Let's close with some applications. First, God's elect pilgrims are born again by the Holy Spirit, and they are given the gift of saving faith. Our confession says that this gift of saving faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It is normally awakened by the preaching and the hearing of God's word, such as what we are hearing now. And it is strengthened and nourished by that same word, by baptism and the Lord's Supper, prayer and fellowship with fellow believers. By faith, believers see the glory of God and they experience the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yet, the heart of saving faith always focuses on the Lord Jesus, accepting and receiving and resting in Him for salvation and for eternal life. Yes, this faith will face attacks in our fallen and hostile world. But as 1 John 5 and verse 4 reminds us, everyone who has been born again overcomes the world. And this is the victory of those who overcome the world, your faith. Over time, this faith matures until the full assurance that through Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, we will never be failed. And so, when we speak of this faith, we don't do so arrogantly. It calls us for humility and gratitude. We also cannot speak of this faith complacently, because it is a living faith, a real faith that lives in the real world. Yet, we are not strong in ourselves. It calls us for dependence upon God, who has chosen us and loved us and will guard and sustain us by His grace. The Christian life is a bittersweet Don't know if you've ever heard that expression. It is bitter. We can see that from our text. Though now for a little while you are grieved by various trials. The Apostle Peter acknowledges that. Trials, testing, grief and sorrow. But it's also sweet. In this you rejoice. That though for a little while you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith will result in glory, praise and honor when Christ returns and you receive your full salvation. Peter acknowledges that our faith is sweet because we have a living hope, imperishable inheritance, and a salvation which is ready to be revealed. Yes. Grieved by various trials, bitter. But also joy and rejoicing, sweet. Because although you have not seen Christ, you love Him. You do not see Him now, you believe in Him with a joy that gives you inexpressible hope. Many of us have gone through deep pain, broken marriages, death of loved ones, war, some of us even, abuse, addiction, great losses. Yet, here you are today, and you still believe. God has sustained your faith. John Bunyan captures this in The Pilgrim's Progress. I've mentioned this example before. Christian visits the interpreter's house and he sees a burning fire against the wall. And there's a man with a bucket of water that pours out water on the fire, tries to extinguish it. But the fire doesn't go out, it just burns brighter and hotter. Christian doesn't understand this. So interpreter goes and shows him behind the wall is a man. That whilst water is being poured on the fire, he's pouring oil on the fire. He says, "This is Christ who continually feeds the flame of grace so that despite all the devil's efforts, the flame will not go out." Speaking of the persevering faith that we have been given. That's exactly what happens to our faith. God sustains our faith. Finally, friend, if there's somebody here today that does not believe, so you don't believe in Jesus, listen to something that's personal and hopeful. Peter describes people who never saw him with their physical eyes just like you. You've never seen Jesus. Yet something happened in their hearts so that no trial could destroy them. They came to love him, trust him, and experience a joy not tied to their circumstances, but to a living person. You may think, I don't know if I could ever believe. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. That blessing is held out to you today. Turn to Christ. He'll give you the same faith that countless Christians have had throughout the history of this world. And that faith will take you into eternal glory. You too can believe. You too can find joy in Christ.